Something which you can guarantee will be very much featured at the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials. That is Sunshine. Won't it? Tremendous coordinator of publicity, PR, and indeed the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials, the legendary Bridget Jennings. Sunshine guaranteed.
Well, good morning. We very much hope so. The long-range weather forecast is excellent. And, you know, plans are well in hand, so fingers crossed that the weather's going to be kind to us.
Absolutely. The world's best event horses, two major rivals for the crowd's affection, of course, on the final day of the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials, because you've got the National Hunt Stars coming. Cato Star is turning up.
Yeah, we have got Quarto Star, and we've also got Neptune Collange. Yeah. Laura Collett is going to actually ride Quarto Star, which will be very exciting. Yeah. And Neptune Collange, both of them will be parading. So, you know, really something very, very special and something to look forward to.
It is wonderful. Not only that, but a star-studded entry. 86 horses, 11 different nations, all entered for the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials. Of course, we still wait to see whether that Rolex Challenge will be won. Of course, the winnings of Burley, Badminton, and the Kentucky Challenge, etc. Anybody, is it all starting again from scratch in terms of that, or have we got anybody we should be looking out for?
We should be looking out for Jock Padgett, you know, real talented horseman. He won the Mitsubishi Motors Badminton Horse Trials. He won the British Open at Gatcombe Park. And he's got two very good horses entered at Burley this year. And, of course, we've got William Fox Pitt, who's won Burley a record six times. He's entered. And, of course, we've got last year's winner, Andrew Nicholson, with Avebury and a couple of other horses. So, you know, they're all out to win Land Rover Burley. And also, of course, it's the final of the HSBC FEI Classics. And Andrew Nicholson sort of leaving world number one and, you know, certainly prime contender for the Classics. So, yeah, there's lots to look out for at Burley.
Well, I mean, in 168 hours, of course, from now, 7 days, it'll all be happening. It'll all be taking place. And Ed Wellman will be sort of experiencing your first ever, I believe, Burley Horse Trials. Is that right, Ed?
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait, actually. High time to be out in the countryside again, I think. And this looks like a good place to start off.
Genuinely wonderful. Nikki, have you ever been, I mean, obviously, award-winning author, top sort of individual horse trials, is that right?
Do you know, it's a sad gap in my life experience catalogue. I might have to fix it.
Because as Bridget will also attest to, it's not just the whole equine experience, fantastic though that happens to be, but it's also the official start of the Christmas shopping season, isn't it, Bridget?
Oh, hang on. I thought that was the 7th of July when Harrods opened Santa's Grotto.
Harrods is simply a warm-up act for the Burley Horse Trials.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
We've said this before. But yes, Bridget, it's very much a case of you've got some wonderful exhibitors there that you can just browse and have all sorts of fun with.
Oh, we've got over 600 trade stands. We've got specialist pavilions. We've got a wonderful food walk. And yes, that's one of the highlights of Burley in the start of the Christmas shopping. And quite honestly, you can buy anything and everything, and it's just a wonderful array of goods for people to look at and enjoy.
So and I also, can come and watch the horses and get all my Christmas shopping done all at the same time.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, wonderful catering,
excellent.
Some other entertainment for people to enjoy. It's a real sort of weekend out for the family. Not only a top-class competition, but shopping, entertainment, you name it, Burley has it to offer. And, of course, in the wonderful setting of Burley House, what could be better?
Genuinely magical. That was one of the reasons, of course, why another one of the Midweek Drive et team will say...
Hi, I'm Zara Phillips, and this is the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Very good. Thank you, Zara. Always nice to have a seal of royal approval, as I'm sure you'll appreciate there on that basis, Bridget, which is great. Zara presumably will... I mean, she stepped aside from the eventing herself because of, obviously, the impending nature of her wonderful...
Mini Zara.
Yeah, Mini Zara. Yes,
but I'm sure she's very fit and well.
Well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we like to feel that in many ways we kind of, you know, help spread the joy, because that was at the Bramham Horse Trials where we did.
In the press tent. It was the coffee and the sandwiches.
The coffee and the
all
sandwiches.
All added to the whole experience. They were very good.
And listen, you ain't seen nothing, man.
Yes.
As Bridget will attest to, it's always important to keep the journalists and the press people reasonably contented. Yes.
Yeah.
And she does
yeah,
a fantastic no,
very
job
important.
Of that. Dave, any questions or thoughts from yourself?
Well, I've never been to an event, but I did once clear up after the horses at a Gymkhana. So that's where I'm empathising there.
How did that happen?
Well, I was a Boy Scout.
Right.
And my troop leader had sold us into slavery for the day. So we had to run up to the jumps and shovel away in between riders.
Did that get you a badge at least?
It should have done, really, but actually, no, there wasn't a badge for...
helping the community or...
No, there probably is now.
I always like to feel that when we invite Richard to join us for the sort of pre-warm-up sort of thing, we always like to give her a few little spins she might never have actually heard before. So, there's a case in
point. I hope that gives you a happy memory of horses. That's all I can say, really. But I'm sure we've all cleared up after them.
There was some very good cider in the tent, I remember.
Oh. How old were you when you were doing this?
I think probably 14.
Ed, any other interrogatives you'd like to put to Bridget now about life and times and so on? Or indeed, the Land Rover Burley horse trials?
Yes, absolutely, Bridget. What is new this year and what do you particularly recommend?
Well, I think, as we've already mentioned, we've got Quarter Star there and Neptune Collange. On the final, on Friday, we've got the final of the Jabari Burley Young Event Horse, which is very exciting because that's seeing potential stars of the future. We've got Pony Club show jumping on Wednesday afternoon. So, you know, there's all sorts going on for everyone to enjoy. Just a great day out, quite honestly.
Or several days.
What surprised me when I was at Bramham was how quiet it was compared with some of the county shows that we've been to this year. Is Burley a quiet, relaxed event?
What do you mean by quiet?
Quiet, as in dynamics.
Lots of noise or not?
It was
lots
very
of people.
People weren't shouting or anything.
Civilized.
Very civilized.
Yeah. It's not an England football game, Ed. We know it's a premier sporting event, but
you could hear the wind in the trees in the distance and lovely.
There are moments in Burley where you do have a wonderful contemplation things, but there are other times where it just gets very hectic. But yeah, right. I see the point. Yeah,
lots of people there. And actually, I must just correct it. I'm sorry. I told you the Penny Club show jumping was Wednesday. It's actually Thursday. That's an error on my part. So
forgiven. We'll allow you that.
And splendid news, because it does mean that after we finish the Madrid Drive Morley edition show next Thursday, we'll be tootling down from Lincoln to Burley to actually sort of experience some of the thoughts of day one before hopefully we return for day two and three as well, actually, from that point of view. So exciting times. I think Katie Grimerson might be joining us for that. Ed, you'll be with us. So great news. Which brings us amazingly to those last two questions. Nikki, would you like to bowl them effortlessly to the ace wonderful person that is Bridget Jennings?
Should you not have thought of a horsing analogy there rather than a bowling? Anyway, I shall bowl.
Well, they're very talented, these horses. I'm sure
they are all very talented.
They can clear these hurdles effortlessly.
Don't take a polo mallet to it.
Go on. Bridget.
They're also very good at pointing their toes. I mean, it's wonderful to watch them in the dressage on Thursday and Friday. So, you know, and they're very talented in all three disciplines. So it's quite something to watch, quite honestly.
Equine ballet.
So now, to the point.
Yeah.
Yes, I shall bowl. Bridget, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It's been fun, really fun, and it's always good. And I hope, I've updated you all on what's going on at Land Rover Burley, and we hope as many people as possible will come and, you know, visit the website at www.burley-horse.co.uk. It'll give you a complete update of what's going on at Land Rover Burley.
We'll certainly plug Elizabeth Inman as well, who does some fantastic job. Hopefully we'll connect with Liz there. And as I say, from our media colleague, Sam Lloyd, who I think will be back in action. So great stuff there. Yeah. Makes sense.
Excellent. And can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Yes. No, love to. Yep.
Brilliant.
That'll be next week then. We'll connect with you then, Bridget. Take care.
Bye. Okay, look forward to it.
September looking quite splendid in a whole heap of ways, not only for the fact that obviously we have the launch of Sophie's Encore, Nikki Wells' fantastic third part of the Rockstar Romance trilogy, but also because we have the cinematic premiere of the fabulous Harrigan, written of course by Arthur McKenzie, who amazingly enough is online at present. How are you, Arthur?
I'm chummy.
Brilliant. Now, would you like to have a little sample, a little sneak tease together with the listener of a little section from Nikki Wells' Sophie's Encore?
Yes, why not?
Would you like to pick a number then between... Yes, it's all right, it's a gamble between page 2 and page
374. Yeah. 76.
Any reasons for 76? It was a very good year, of course. We had Czechoslovakia winning the European Championship. Actually, only two lines on 76, so I'll back up a little bit on page 75 and go with this. I took the plunge. I think it's too mushy. If you're singing about drug abuse, I want to hear a thumping heartbeat. I want the adrenaline, but it needs to start clear and become fuzzy later. You know, alter the quality of the sound through the song so that it does become oppressive and hurtful. Actually, I paused. Let me listen to the whole thing first to see where you're taking it, and then let me think some more. Dan smiled widely. I love you, he said sincerely. I love your style and your honesty. This will be a great partnership. I blushed at the compliment, but smiled back. Dan seemed to value my opinion. Never mind that I was a complete rookie. I'd always dreamed of making music, but I didn't play an instrument that would be useful in a rock band. And while I had tried singing, my talent wasn't tremendous. Yet if I could make music great in this way, that would be a wonderful achievement. I could do skillful, creative work, musical work. I would be part of the action. I would be in the studio with the band. And I was getting way ahead of myself here. I chuckled to myself and concentrated on the task at hand. Rock on, Sophie. Rock on. A little smidgen there of the sort of... Nikki, I mean, I don't know, obviously it's a female voice that's channeling my sort of feminine side for that.
But you do it so well. Oh. It's always amazing to hear my words come back from you, out of your mouth. Obviously, this is the beginning of the...
It's in a good way.
In a good way, in the best possible way. This is the beginning of the... of Dan's ploy to pull Sophie back from the brink of despair and kindle a little romance. But he's keeping it all official. They're just working together. It's that very age-old sort of, yes, do something, but let's, you know, we're just friends.
He wants to be her Svengali.
More the other way round, I think. But yeah, that's the setup, and it works. But she doesn't realise that. She's just carried away by doing something fresh.
I am, Arthur, you'll be pleased to know, quoted in the opening quotes from this book as managing editor at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, programme leader MN Community Radio, saying, Sophie's Encore is a riveting page-turner with a pace that throbs like the most potent rock ballad. A clear winner.
Woohoo! Yeah.
And if you want a quote for Harrigan when we've seen the DVD, I'll obviously pass that on to you as well, because we spoke to your wonderful publicist, and hopefully we'll be featuring the director, of course, as well in various ways. So thank you for passing all the details of that, and obviously we spread the word to make sure people go and see Harrigan across the globe. So I will be coming back to you with respect to that. But Arthur, question. In fact, Nikki, would you like to question Arthur? Because Arthur's more of a crime writer, a former UK discus champion, detective chief inspector with the police force, and of course ace commenter, a writer for Wycliffe, The Bill, Cop of the Tyne, a whole heap of things, creator of Harrigan.
Well, actually, I have a sort of slightly technical question, if I may, because I see as playwright and writer,
yes,
which are obviously two quite separate things.
Very good, yeah. Playwright and writer.
Absolutely. I mean, you know,
five guys in a gym,
The Bill.
Probably the
Woo!
Best. Exactly.
So when you sit down to write a novel as opposed to a play or a screen script, do you wear different hats? Do you go into different writing modes?
No, not at all. What I do is I just imagine what's in my head and I just start clunking it out on the machine. I don't have a system at all, really. I think the first thing... I'm a lion. I do have a system. If I get the title first, everything hangs off the title. So what I do is I look for the title first. Once I get that title, I know what the theme is, and then I just take it from there. I just take it as it comes. I don't have lots of plans, and I don't write out loads of notes and stuff like that. I really just go for it.
An expert, do you know when you're sitting down whether you're going to write a novel or a script?
Well, I don't really write novels, you know what I mean? I've tried. The first one I ever wrote was called Keep Off the Grass, which was about a policeman and his informant. I just wrote it for myself. And when I wrote it, my wife looked at it and she said, look, Mark, the only time this book comes alive is when the dialogue strikes in.
Right.
So she says, why don't you write plays instead? So that's what I did.
Excellent.
It's nice to hear comes alive.
The dialogue is, when I get edited, it's always show, don't tell. Dialogue is the thing, even in novel writing right now. You just got to keep it fresh and contemporary and run. And lots of talking. No descriptive passages, please.
Arthur, you've obviously sort of already sort of touched base with respect to the quote of the day so far. Just start clunking it out on the machine. Ed Wellman, MA dissertation. Just start clunking it out on the machine.
That's very good advice.
Exactly.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Dave, yes. How often have we said to students?
And also start anywhere you can start. That's another one of my stalwart pieces of advice. I don't know if that's the way you do it, Arthur, but I think, you know, if you've got a title, you may find that what you start writing around that title ends up being in the middle or maybe towards the end or the beginning.
Possibly.
It's just get the juices flowing. And then what I always say to my students is actually when we talk about writing, we should be talking about writing and editing. It's rewriting. It's all part of the process. Yeah. It doesn't just come off the pen and then it goes and gets published.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I'll rewrite and rewrite maybe 20, 30, 40 times, just a couple of paragraphs, you know. Mm. You've just got to keep revisiting it, because as you move on, the story develops, you suddenly get other ideas, you think, oh, just a minute, I haven't explained that properly, or the subtext hasn't come through there, so what you've got to do is just keep going back and polishing. It's a bit like, this is another description, an analogy I've got. It's like boiling cabbage down. Really, you should drink the water and throw the cabbage away.
I do that quite a lot when I make soups, actually.
And how often in education do you find yourself talking to cabbages? I won't say any names. Ed, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, Arthur, in the middle of your conversation, you referred to your wife calling you Mac. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
That would be Irene. Not Irene Mac, of course.
Irene calls us Mac. She's always called us Mac.
Super Mac, perhaps, but that's Harry
McMillan.
Or Malcolm McDonald, of course. Different line entirely, still.
We knew where you were. Those of us of a certain age.
Well, exactly. Experientially enhanced from that point of view. Dave, you're progressing, obviously, with the Boole Foundation. We heard that. We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again, clearly, from that point of view. I'll throw the question to Arthur. Arthur, have you ever encountered George Boole?
No.
Well, this is an opportunity to write a play about him, or various other things, or do creative things. Dave?
Absolutely. That would be great, Arthur, if you've got the bit between your teeth about this... This man, 200 years ago, born in Lincoln, he invented the way computers work, and he didn't think he did. He knew nothing about it. He thought he was doing psychology. But that sounds a bit bland. Actually, he was a bit of a genius, all-round nice guy, and killed by homeopathy, which on this show is something we shouldn't mention, I'm sure. But there you go, very interesting guy, and it's his 200th birthday. The year after next. Oh. Weirdly,
send him a card.
You could send him a card. You could send him care of the Lincoln Boole Foundation, and it will reach him by the magic of computers.
This is just wondrous.
That was interesting.
How do you die of homeopathy?
Ah, well, it's a long story. I'm not sure we've got time for it.
We have actually.
But basically, George's wife, who was Mary Everest, the niece of the man who the mountain's named after. Her dad was big on homeopathy. In fact, he's the main guy who introduced it to England. And in those days, what you did with homeopathy was you just did something to the patient that would create the same symptoms as the symptoms they were suffering from. So poor old George, he went out to teach his students. And he walked through a thunderstorm and got absolutely soaked. And then he did his lecture, and then he walked all the way back. And he got a chill and a fever, so his wife kept him wet for the next 2 weeks, which killed him.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately.
It's not going to happen with our district herbalist, Hannah Sylvester, when she joins us on the show next
Wednesday,
well, I can tell you.
No, well, homeopathy has moved on. You'd have to throw an awful lot of bottles of arnica at people to keep them moist in the way she did.
That's got to be good for an action sequence, Arthur, surely.
Absolutely, yes.
Meanwhile, musically speaking, I wonder if you can identify this little fellow. Any thoughts, Ed Wellman?
It's a piano.
Yes, and it's an F minor. Nikki, can you add anything to our little analysis of that?
Could be dedicated to you, Nikki.
No, I haven't. I'm normally sort of the first few chords get me, but this makes me think of a bar. Not quite in the zone yet.
It's not going to be Matt Monro, is it?
No. What about yourself, Arthur McKenzie? Any thoughts?
Not a chance.
Oh. Is it Mr. Bublé?
No.
In honour of his baby?
Baby, good thinking.
No.
It's the kind of thing you might...
Tall, sophisticated lady. Any
ideas,
lady, Dave?
The wrong book.
It's not going to be Nina, is it?
No, I thought... I specifically dug this out because I thought, well, it's a celebratory thing. Is it?
Yeah, I needed to know who I was going to say before I started that sentence, which I didn't, did I?
Dave? It's on the tip of your tongue.
Any
I can
thoughts?
See it.
Key musicians produced Light Blue, variety of things, 40 classics. Opening Christian name begins with a T. Ends in unk. It's Thelonious Monk, people, with sophisticated
ladies. It is now. He was just being really straight for that first few bars.
There we
just
are.
Just as you said monk.
Exactly.
He just put in a monk chord.
A little bit of background to take us up to the news with a little bit of Thelonious Monk, which enables, Ed, you to provide those last two questions for Arthur McKenzie.
Yes, Arthur, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us?
Very, very interesting, especially the homeopathist.
Well, now you know. And can we look forward to connecting with you again very soon?
Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully, next week, I'll be able to give you a little sneak sort of views in terms of how one's found Harrigan the movie.
Okay.
Fantastic. Arthur McKenzie, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you, Arthur.